Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference in our community and learn how you can make a difference as well. When you hear someone suggest reaching out and helping a neighbor, do you automatically think of someone who lives next door or down the block? What if helping a neighbor meant anyone, anywhere, who needs help? What if that person was someone who perhaps wasn't on the same page as you personally, politically, or spiritually? Let's learn about what that looks like for our next nonprofit guest to carry out their mission of helping a neighbor. Joining me today is Carol and Ray Gum, founders of Quizera Ministries, whose mission is to bring hope and practical help to vulnerable communities across the ocean through education, housing, and spiritual support. Welcome to the show today, Carol and Ray.
Thank you for having us, Jill. We're excited to be here.
Excited to have you and learn all about your ministry. First off, why don't you tell us what Quizera means and then share what it was that inspired you to start the nonprofit in the first place?
Quizera means hope in the Lord, and it is a Kinyarwandan word out of Rwanda. We went to Rwanda in 2007, and we met genocide survivors that were associated with an organization called Solace Ministries. And that's where we heard their stories of survival, that their families had been taken from them in horrific ways, and it broke our hearts. And so at that moment, we knew that we wanted to be more involved with helping them get through the trauma of that genocide and move on to something else. And in the middle of all of those things happening and hearing the stories, Ray was invited by the director of Solace Ministries to bring an electricity team back to put electricity into his convention center that was being built. He wanted it done in the United States safety way. Interesting enough that when Ray was asked that question, usually he needs to overanalyze everything to make sure it all goes together. But in that moment, when John Kokwandi asked him, will you come back with a team? He said, yes.
It was a slam dunk, huh?
Yep, it was, actually.
So we knew that that was something from God because that was not Ray's personality. And we came home and we started looking for electricity partners. Ray is not an electrician by trade. He was a maintenance engineer at a tool and die shop in Bayview, Wisconsin. So God brought forth five different electricians to come with us for 2 weeks to put the electricity in. It was at that point that we had the opportunity to sit and listen to the stories more. And their general statement was, everyone forgot us. No one helped us. This is my genocide story. And every time they said that, my heart would break because nobody did help them. Thankfully, it only lasted 100 days, but over 1 million people were killed. And most of the people we were talking to, their entire families were taken out. So our original intent was to bring people back to Rwanda to meet the people of Solace so that they would fight for them if something bad ever happened in their country again. And that was the start of Quizera Ministries.
Mm. Well, what a fascinating story. Well, I talked in the opening about this idea of helping a neighbor and how it shouldn't be taken literally as far as the word neighbor is concerned or how some people would think of that word. You use a phrase in your organization, together, empower, love. What does that mean to you? And does it speak to this idea of helping a neighbor, whoever they are and wherever they may be?
Yes, it does. And thank you, Jill, for this time that we can share this message. And thank you for the Ellen Becker Investment Group for allowing us to be here.
You're welcome.
The time that we've spent overseas helping these people, ministering to these people, has enlightened my mind and my soul to what it means to be able to share in somebody's life in such a deep detail of the things that they've struggled with and the things that they've endured, to the point where even when we come back to Milwaukee after each one of these trips and we see neighbors, we see people and look at them actually in a very different way. Because I'll try to explain this, that there's so much hidden pain in people that to be able to look through that and recognize that just by being overseas and seeing some of the things that they've endured, it's opened our heart to be able to see that same thing in other people that we meet here, whether it's food, whether it's comfort, whether it's a shoulder to lean on and a shoulder to cry on in a church community and just in the community in general where we live.
So this idea of together, empower, love brings all that together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think the three are very much connected because you're partnering with people in a way that helps them in many different ways. And just the love that you show them to be able to embrace the things that they're going through and know that you have compassion for them. They know that you are a real person and that you truly empathize with what they're going through.
So when we bring teams, we teach the team members, like this is the goal of this team is to go in, to listen, to see them, to treat them as humans, to understand what they've been through. But now that you've experienced it here in Rwanda, now come back home. And when you're in the grocery store and you see a foreigner or you see someone with this look in their eyes, because people in trauma have a look in their eyes, they look like they're looking through everything, reach out, touch their hand, say hello, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. Be an active member, a relational member of your society instead of being independent United States citizens, which is what we're really good at. We wanted people to come back and really engage in their communities to see when someone's hurting and to be there just to stand with them.
Yeah, and say, I see you, and we care, right? Well, what's the impact of some of the things that you've seen there?
Well, the impact is incredible. Some of the team members we brought with have gone through some traumas that they had blocked out. And when they came on the team trips and the women over in Rwanda were talking about their traumas and how God has pulled them out by his love and bringing people from afar to love on them, the team members have had a recollection, unfortunately, of their trauma. And during that week, we've been able to minister to them and get them healthy also. And it's been incredible because husbands have come, wives have stayed home. Wives have gone through some things husbands didn't understand. Mm. And so in these discussions that we have with the team members, the husband starts to understand how he can best support his wife when he goes home because she's been through this thing. That's a simple form of what happens on these team trips and why it's so important.
Mm. Well, in 2015, you expanded then to South Asia. What led to that decision and what challenges, which I'm sure there were many, have you faced in that region?
Well, we have been partnering with a pastor over in southern India for quite a long time. And he had asked me at one point, he says, when are you going to come to India?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me think about that. So we made arrangements for that fall to go and meet the people in his group, in his churches that he's been planting in India. And that's what started it. It was a very eye-opening, so different than Rwanda, but still had a lot of the same brokenness and same of the poverty and so many other things that it was that point where you can realize the world over, pain and suffering has different faces. Mm. No matter where you go, it's all the same for them people. And that was, okay, we have a new place to go and minister to.
Yeah. Wow. Well, how do you support communities where Christians face this persecution, but they have limited access to resources?
Well, that's a really great question because resources are the key, right? Like if you have nothing, you can't do anything. And so what we found to be the most effective in South Asia, and actually as we went up into northern India, we found a group of children that had been forgotten and decided that school sponsorship, education sponsorship would be the best way to change a generation. And so what happened through our experiences in southern India is that we saw the darkness and the non-Christian culture that they're living in, and that it was not empowering people to be their best. They still have the caste system, and they still treat people as if they are not valuable. And so when you come in as a foreigner and you say, but you have great value, same thing we were doing in Rwanda, you have great value. God brought us all the way across the world to come and see you. Then they start to believe it, and they start to see it, and they want to do better. And so education sponsorships, helping kids get off the streets and get into safe homes with good food and so on and so forth has been sort of the way that we've gone on this journey. Same thing we were doing in Rwanda, just now into a place where there is a lot of opposition. And there does need to be some caution as to the people that are ministering over there and how to support them from afar without them getting in trouble, because that is not an accepted way of living.
Okay. And so those are more of the practical needs that you're addressing in both Rwanda and India.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Kwizera Ministries has an initiative that is focusing on rescuing children who have been overlooked and or abandoned. And I know they're excited to share what that's all about. So stay tuned and you'll hear more about it after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
At Allen Becker Investment Group, we believe education empowers competent decision-making. That's why we offer seminars throughout the year, open to everyone in the community. Join our next online webinar, Fraud and Scam Awareness, on February 26th from noon until 1:30 p.m. Ben Marins from the Wisconsin Bureau of Consumer Protection will walk you through today's most convincing scams and tips to stay vigilant. For details, visit ellenbecker.com/events. If you can't attend, register to receive the recording.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Carol and Ray Gum, founders of Kwizera Ministries. And joining us in our conversation is Matthew Vondre, who is a board member and a partner with Carol and Ray. You guys have a new initiative that's focused on children who have been overlooked and or abandoned, and it's called Nani's Kids. Tell us what that's all about and how you're changing these little kiddos' lives.
Thank you, Jill. So I think a good place to start is to understand that we're talking about a nation of a billion people. And we're talking about an estimated 30 plus million forgotten, orphaned, abandoned kids. So these are children who don't have loving homes. They don't have people caring for them. We're talking about children who, on average, are under 15, some as young as 2 or 3 or 4 years old, who are just wandering the street, hoping to get enough to eat and stay out of the rain when it rains and so on and so forth, right? No roof over the head. And so it's a dire and a desperate situation. Every kind of atrocity that you can imagine happening to a 3-year-old who's just wandering by themselves happens. So high mortality rates. It's a situation unlike anything I think we have here in the United States. So it's hard to relate to. But the more you learn about it, the more you realize you can't not do something to help. In doing the research around it, right? Some of the common questions for a project like this are, well, what about the government? Like here in the United States, kids need help. We have programs. We have nonprofits. We have government. We have things that are in place. Over there, they do have programs. They're just not funded or staffed. So while the government has an administration to handle these things, they don't have staffing or funding to do anything about it. We're talking about less than 1% of 30 million children. And again, remember, we're talking about kids under 15 years old. So we're not talking about older than that. 30 million of these kids and who have no government aid or support. There's no organization. And the nonprofits, right? So the non-government organizations that are there are serving a little less than 1%. So there's a great, great need. So what we're doing, we're focused on an area in Uttar Pradesh, so the very northern part of India, around the region of Varanasi India, the one of the Hindu capitals of the world, very religious place, but big, big city with lots and lots of kids there who need a lot of help. Specifically, we're looking at about 80 kids who are living outside of a train station underneath a loading dock kind of a situation. And, you know, we're building relationships and we're looking to provide not only a Christian home, but a Christian education for these kids. We're looking to help them, you know, not just eat and survive, but learn how to live a life that's in community, transform these lives, help them to understand their value in the way that God values them, that your life is important. You are not a castaway. You are not forgotten. You are someone who is dearly loved. So that's the backdrop to the project we're working on.
And Nani's Kids, why that name?
Great question. There are two of us on this project who are kind of leading things administratively and otherwise. Myself here in the United States, and Nani, who is our hands and feet with the children. So
okay.
Nani is the lady who is living in the Varanasi region, and she is the one who is daily with these children and caring for these children. And when it comes time to try and, you know, bring them into care, she's the one who's spearheading all of that for us.
Okay. Well, now at some point we'll have to get a picture of Nani so we can kind of put face to a name. That would be kind of neat to see. But okay, so there's a limited staff. I mean, it's just the three of you, really. You've got to rely on others to help in your mission. Do volunteers play a role at all?
Volunteers play a huge role in our organization. It is pretty much volunteer-based. We can use people to go over and be the hands and feet of Christ, to be love to them, to see it, to come back and speak to their people that they know, the circle of influence that they have, because it's a big project and we want more and more people to know. So we need people that'll decide, hey, I want to go see this, to come with us. We have somebody who just volunteered to redo our website for us. So we have some administrative needs that if somebody's super administrative, we'd be more than happy to use them in our organization because it keeps the overhead costs down. So
sure.
Our goal is you give us money, we're going to give it to them,
right,
and use the very minimal amount for any administrative fees, very minimal amount. And so it just feels better to know that when I give you $100, $100 is being used, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, and then there's always the, you know, creative people that know how to get the story out. And we have some of those wonderful volunteers that are helping us to get the information out. So most importantly, in Rwanda, it's taking people over to be the family members they lost because it speaks volumes into their lives. And then in India, it will be for those who are really courageous to go over, meet the kids. You know, the nice thing about what we're doing is if you sponsor a child, then you get to meet the child by picture, by stories, because it's such a grassroots effort.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What about partnerships with organizations, corporations? How do they strengthen your mission?
So Carol mentioned this earlier that, you know, resources are very important. As you approach a monumental task, like trying to put 30 million children into loving homes, you can't do it without partners who God has gifted with resources and the willingness to share them. So we're looking for partners, big and small. We're looking for people who can be monthly sustainers, cost about $100 a month to provide housing, food, medical, counseling, education to one child. Okay. So for every $100 we get, that's one child who comes off the street in Varanasi, which, you know, here in the United States, maybe not a lot. In addition to that, though, we need space. So as you can imagine, 80 kids need a lot of room. And so we're looking to build some buildings. it doesn't cost a lot to build a building in India. It costs $50,000, $60,000 to put up the kind of buildings we need. We need three of them. So we're also looking for organizations who can, you know, participate in a capital campaign like that. World Orphan Fund is an organization that we're working with right now, and we are going through their grant process, and it's looking promising, but we have room. And, you know, as we go through this process and perfect the process of you know, how to get all of these kids into a situation that's sustainable, we can repeat that model across India.
That's right.
And someday there won't be 30 million kids who are forgotten in India.
Yeah. And everybody can do something. I know that sounds like such a cliche statement, but I think I've said it before on the show that one of the best and I think most effective things anybody can do is pray. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost a thing. Mm-hmm. So how do you see the power of prayer transforming lives in those communities where you serve?
Well, that's a great question, because the power of prayer is what's been propelling us all along since 2007. We pray for things, they happen. We pray sometimes in your own head, in your heart, and you never say it out loud and they happen. That's when you really get to see the hand of God in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
The very fun story that I have recently, there was a woman in Rwanda who unfortunately had been tortured with a machete in her female parts and cut up. And she was sent back from the hospital after it didn't happen in Rwanda. It happened in a different country. She was brought back to Rwanda by her family after she had suffered that atrocity. They took her to the hospital. The hospital did what they could, but they said, go home and die. Well, that's where we came in, because she became part of Solace Ministries, and we went and did one of our first home visits. This was a few years ago. So we went in with a group of eight to her little house, which is like a 10 by 10 cement box, basically. And she was laying on a cushion on her floor, and she had depends on, and she couldn't control anything in her bowels and things like that. So that was her situation. And they told us that she was coming home to die. So fast forward, we get down on the ground, we're hugging her, we're praying over her. She looks at me and she tells me, I know you from Solace in English. We all hear it in English. She doesn't speak a lick of English. We find this out later. So after we prayed for her, we left. And then 2 months later, I got a video of her dancing around Solace Ministries, talking about how God has cured her.
Oh, wow.
But she still had HIV/AIDS. So the next time we went back to see her, we were talking about that first meeting, and she's speaking in Kinyarwandan, and I'm looking at her. I go, don't you speak English? She said, no, I don't speak English, through the interpreter. Okay. I said, well, you did last time, and I have witnesses that saw you do it. She goes, nope, I did not. So we heard in English. She was speaking in Kinyarwandan. So the hand of God is clearly on this moment. And I said, well, if he's got his hand here, then this HIV has got to be gone. And we prayed that off, and she is now HIV free.
Wow.
So that's the power of prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody can do it, and it doesn't cost anything, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a great gift that everybody can give. Wow, what an impact story. Well, what are your goals for the next, let's say, 5 years in terms of outreach and growth?
In Rwanda, our continued partnership with Solace Ministries will continue. We would love to take more and more people with us to go over and experience the love of God that happens at Solace Ministries, but to empower, like a family reunion, to the people who have lost their entire families, our visits matter to them. Mm-hmm. You know, now they're showing up. They were middle schoolers. They're showing up now with their wives and their children to show us, to bring them to us, because they consider us family. And everyone that we bring with us, they consider as part of the family they haven't met yet. So it makes them feel very important to know that people love them from afar. In Isaiah, it talks about foreigners will come from afar, and that's how you will know that God exists. And so that's a big empowerment for them. We'll continue supporting them through. We have a community center that we've got about 2/3 of the way finished, which will bring sustenance to that community. They'll use it for weddings and things like that, renting the hall out, and education sponsorship. All of those things will continue in Rwanda, as we are doing. But India, that's got a bigger, better 5-year goal, and Matthew can tell you that.
Okay, Matt, you're on. Give us the 411 on India.
Thank you, Carol. So to begin with, 5-year plan, I'd love to see a greater community here in Southeast Wisconsin coming around Quizera Ministries. I know there's listeners out there who God's been speaking to their heart. They've been praying about, just like I was before I joined Quizera Ministries, praying about how God could use them and the gifts that he's given them. And we want to know you. We want you to email us. We want to build that community. So we have a goal here in Southeast Wisconsin of building that community of people who care about this mission and want to participate both domestically and abroad. And then, speaking of abroad, we have a vision for the buildings that I mentioned, the 80 kids we want to care for initially. And we have a vision for some of the villages then as we spread out. So Varanasi is essentially the core, and we're starting to identify villages nearby that as we finish our work there, we can start moving out, planting churches, caring for the forgotten children in each of those villages until we fully accomplish what's been set before us in India.
Okay. Well, if someone is listening and they love your mission and they want to get involved, or maybe they want to just bless someone through their resources, maybe make a donation, what is the best way for people to get connected to you?
The best way to get connected to us is to go to our website, which is Quizera, Quizera, ministries.com. And when you go to that, you will see both the Rwanda Project and the Nani's Kids Project. You can get involved financially there, but you can also send us a message if you have ideas of how God's using you and wants to be involved. We'd be glad to meet with you. So in any of those ways is great. If you think your church is a church that would like to get on board with helping the kids in India, we'd be glad to come and speak to them. So you can get a hold of us through QuizeraMinistries.org. Or you can come on to Facebook, because we have Quizera Ministries on Facebook. And I think, Matthew, you said LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Follow us on LinkedIn.
All right. Wonderful. Well, lots of good things happening. The work that you're doing here locally and obviously also in Rwanda and in India. I want to thank you for being here today, Carol and Ray Gum and Matthew Vondre from Quizera Ministries, and for sharing what you think helping a neighbor is all about, and sharing how others can join you in your mission. If you'd like to contact Quizera Ministries, you can just Google it or go to the web address that Carol shared, and you can find their info in the show notes. Thanks for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and perhaps find a place to plug in and share your time, talents, and resources, just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.